Now I see great. Hallelujah, I stand in May. I'm staring at an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was a prodigal, you saw sun. When I left 99, you saw one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Grace Point Church. Those of you who've been here before, we welcome you back. Those of you, maybe it's your first time or the first time in a while, we're glad you're here with us today. I want to give you a chance to say hello to people around you. I want to share a verse with you this morning as we get started. It comes from... Okay, no, it's this one. This is right. Okay, we got it. That's fine. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9, here's what it says. My gift of undeserved grace is all you need. We've been talking about grace throughout this series of messages I've been sharing with you. And I love the way Paul puts it here. My gift of undeserved grace is all that you need. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for your grace. It is indeed undeserved. It is indeed a gift that you give to us. We could never earn it. We could never work enough for it. And it really is all that we need. When you give us grace, you take care of all the needs that we have down here as we live on this earth. And also, Father, grace enough to be with you for all eternity through your Son, Jesus. So thank you for that kind of grace. We celebrate you because of that grace today. So bless our time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been doing this for 40 years. That's the first time I ever made a mistake, right there. 40 years. And I just lied. So, thank God for his grace, huh? Story is told of a man who was going to celebrate his wife's birthday. And he asked his wife what she would like for her birthday, and she replied, "I would love to be six again." So in the morning of her birthday, he got her up bright and early, and off they went to a local theme park. He put her on every ride in the park, the death slide, the screaming loop, the wall of fear, everything. 5 hours later, she staggered out of the park. He took her then to McDonald's, where he fed her a Big Mac with extra fries, a chocolate shake. Then it was off to a movie, where he fed her hot dogs, popcorn, a Coke, M&Ms. Took her home. He was so proud of himself, thinking it was the best adventure he could ever give her. Finally, she wobbled home, collapsed on the bed, and he leaned over lovingly and said, "Well, dear, what was it like being six again?" And with one eye open, she said, "You bozo, I meant my dress size." How many of you would agree that that husband was in desperate need of massive amounts of relational grace? We've been in a series, Good News About God's Grace. We've talked about God's saving grace, God's guilt-free grace, God's sustaining grace, God's liberating grace, growing in grace, God's restoring grace, and then today, this is the last message. We're going to be talking about living in God's amazing grace. Grace. How do you actually live day by day in God's amazing grace? Now, if you have your bulletins, take the outline out, if you will. You can follow along, and also you can fill in the blanks as we go. Let's define once again what grace is. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Grace is God giving us his unmerited, undeserved favor. We don't deserve it. We don't get it because of anything we do. We get it because that's who God is. Even though we come up short, even in our sinful, selfish ways, God offers us his favor. He offers us his grace. I think one of the best ways to think about it is to remember the parable, the story of the prodigal son. It's one of the best examples of grace. You remember the story in Luke's gospel. The younger of two sons asked his dad for his inheritance early, so the dad gave it to him, and the younger son took the money. He left the homestead for fast living. Flashing his money around, he bought liquor and drugs and women. He became the financier of endless nights of parties. He was no longer just the younger brother of the family. Living in the shadow of his older brother, he now was the popular one. Now his peers followed him around. Now everybody knew his name. Of course they did. They were living off of his quickly dwindling and disappearing stash of cash. And before long, his finances had fled, as did his supposed friends. And soon enough, he was alone and hungry, with nowhere to go, nothing to eat, no place to lay down and sleep. He needed a job, and so he was hired on to slop pigs. And I suppose after days, maybe even a week, week and a half, he was so hungry, he entertained eating the slop that he was feeding those pigs. He had turned his back on his father. He'd made a mess of his life and of himself. He was at the end of his rope. And so in grave desperation, he swallowed his pride. He decided that maybe he could go home and just hope against hope that possibly his father might hire him as a slave to work. And so he walked home. And what happened was one of the greatest examples of grace. I suppose that his dad, probably like every other morning, stepped out of the house, and probably there was a long dirt road that went out to other public areas, but that long dirt road came up to the dad's property out of the dad's house, and I guess every morning his dad went down there with his cup of coffee, and he peered down where the sunrise was coming up every morning looking that maybe, just maybe, he'd get a glimpse of his shadow of his son every day. No son. But every day he'd go back. And one day, he saw the shadow of somebody walking. And he recognized the gait of that boy. And he didn't wait for that boy to come to him. All that that boy did to his dad, that dad just ran down the road and just embraced him with his arms, lifted him up, and even though his face was dirty and stunk like the pigs, kissed him on the cheek. Took him back home. Cleaned him up. Gave him a party. You know what that is? That's grace. That's what God has done for each and every one of us. That's grace. As far as I'm concerned, we could stop the message right here. Let me share some of the benefits of grace with you. Now, on your outline, it has the verse references, but there were too many to give you the verses. So look on the screen and you'll see the actual verses written out. Let me see some of these benefits of grace with you. First of all, we're saved by grace. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. No, none of us can boast about it. We are saved by that grace. We don't earn it. Another benefit is that we are forgiven by grace. Isaiah 43, 25 says, "And yet I am the God who forgives your sins, and I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you." God says, "I forgive you," not because we're good. He forgives us because of his grace. Isaiah 46, 4, "We are sustained by grace. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." Folks, we don't get saved and then take care of ourselves the rest of our life. God sustains us for the rest of our lives. We are healed by grace. Psalm 147:3 says, "God heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds, healing our pain, comforting our sorrow." He gives us physical, emotional, spiritual, relational grace to heal us. We're liberated by grace. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says this, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out by religion? Come to me." This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Folks, God doesn't want to burden us. He liberates us because of his grace. God has given us talents because of his grace. Romans 12, 6 says we all have different gifts. God gives us gifts and talents by his grace. We're used by God's grace. In Ephesians 3, 7, we are kept saved by God's grace. In Jude 1:24, we are transformed by God's grace. In Romans 12:2, we are matured by God's grace. In 2 Peter 3:18, all of those are benefits of God's grace. The bottom line, folks, in the Christian life is grace. Everything God does to you, in you, for you, through you, with you, he does by grace. If you were here and can remember, it was on March 19th, 2023, that under God's leadership, we announced our church name. Were you here that day? Do you remember that? We announced our church name and we would be Grace Point Church. Grace Point Church. It reflects the truth that God's grace has changed us and is changing us. Robert Louis Stevenson said, "There's nothing but God's grace. We walk upon it, we breathe it, we live it, and we die by it. Everything is by God's grace. And we shall forever be a church of God's grace." When folks come to our church searching for answers, for forgiveness, we want them to be received by you, by us, in God's grace, in God's unmerited favor. It's in the context of God's grace and how God's grace is for all people all the time and how God's grace benefits all people and how the only reason we even exist is by God's grace, understanding that the last breath you just took was by God's grace. It's in that context that we receive anyone who wants to come here. We receive them into our church. By our behavior, by our words, we will share grace with others whom God places in our path. We welcome to Grace Point the unsaved sinner who didn't even think about God, who isn't even wondering about God. They might even have cursed God, but they're welcome here so they can learn about God's grace. We welcome believers here, maybe who have fallen away from God because they need to get back in touch with God and his grace. We welcome believers here who are mature believers and they want to live out God's grace with us. At Grace Point, we will show God's grace to those whose behavior and language even mocks God. If we really want to lead people to Christ who don't know Christ, don't be surprised when they come in here and they don't act like Christians should act. They're not Christians yet. Don't get surprised and go, wait, did you hear them say this? What do you expect? I know Christians who don't even act like Christians. Pastor John and I, a long time ago, went to a church conference down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And the pastor there was one of the greatest growing churches, fastest growing churches in the Southeast at that time. And the pastor stood up and he shared a story about a man who came down during one of the church services, and he brought a brown paper bag, grocery bag, and he came down and he talked with the pastor, he prayed with the pastor, and he gave that pastor a brown paper bag. And the pastor shared the story with us. He prayed with him and he took the paper bag and he looked opened the paper bag, he looked at it, folded it back up and set it down, and after the church service took it back to the office. And he said that church, the pastor that came down, that person who came down, he said, I had led that person to Christ. He'd been coming to our church. And he understood what it meant that God loved him. He needed forgiveness. And I prayed with him, and he got saved. And he came down, and when he came down and talked to me, he said, I just want to thank you that this church received me. Because I was lost. And I was heading for hell. And this church loved me. And I just wanted to give you something to thank you. He said, when I opened it up, when he came down to the altar to give it to him, I opened it up, it was a six-pack of beer. The guy was saved, but he wasn't changed fully yet. And he gave it to him out of his heart. He said, I took that six-pack of beer and I put it in the cabinet in my office to remember who we're trying to reach. Remember who we're trying to reach, folks. People who aren't saved, people who are saved but they've walked away from God, and people who are saved and they're ready to serve, they are all welcomed here. We are Grace Point. Well, how do we receive God's grace? By trusting in and receiving Christ. It's pretty simple. Somebody asks you one day, hey, how do I receive God's grace? Just tell them by trusting in and receiving Christ. It's very simple. Look at John 1:17. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace is wrapped up in a person, in the person of Jesus. He is the source of God's grace. Folks, we don't get grace through religion. You don't get grace through ritual, not baptism, not communion. You don't get grace through rules. You get grace through a relationship with Jesus. In Romans 5:11, Paul wrote this, now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends with God. Did you hear that? Did you catch that? By God's grace, by God's unmerited favor, we become friends with God. How? How do we become friends with God? By being legalistic or ritualistic? No. We become friends with God by having a relationship with a person, his son, Jesus Christ. This relationship with God is possible because of what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. Because there he was being punished, not for what he did wrong, but because of what we did wrong. Folks, grace is free. It is offered freely to us by God, but it was never cheap. It cost Jesus his life. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he did three things. First, he paid the penalty for sin. The penalty for your sin and my sin, it's been paid for. Jesus paid the price for our sin. He was punished so we wouldn't have to be. Secondly, Jesus broke the power of sin. It means through Jesus, we obtain the power to change the hurts, the habits, and the hang-ups that we've had. And number three, Jesus will ultimately obliterate sin. One day, we won't struggle with the temptations and the sin any longer. I know we struggle now. Some of the times, we'll overcome a sin, But one day, we won't struggle any longer. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And when that time comes, we won't have to struggle one bit. Now, why would Jesus be willing to die for our sins? He was the only human being who was tempted, the Bible says, in the same ways we're tempted. Why would he be willing to die for our sins? He didn't do anything wrong. He laid down his life for us so we could know what true, real, unconditional love and grace was all about. Grace is a free gift that Paul says is too good to let go. 2 Corinthians 6:1 puts it this way. So we beg you, do not let the grace that you received from God be for nothing. Don't waste it. Don't let it go. And don't just hold it in for yourself. It was meant to be shared. So how do we do that? How do we show gratitude for God's grace? What can we do to pass it around? Let me give you three ways we can show gratitude for God's grace. Number one, by making my life count. By making my life count. 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul wrote this. Don't you see that you can't keep on living however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for. So let people see God in and through your body. Paul is saying here that you can't experience the grace of God and keep on living the same old way you lived before you experienced the grace of God. You can't understand the grace of God and keep ignoring his commands and guidelines and principles for living. You can't have truly encountered the grace of God and keep majoring on the minors of life that have no eternal value. Through the death of Christ, you were spared for a purpose. Jesus did not die on the cross so you could go on living any old way that you want to. He spared you so you could make a difference for other people. He spared you so you could make your life count for something that would far exceed your life down here. It would make a difference not only for you, but for many other people that you can share God's love with. Look what Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Whatever gift you have, whatever talent you have, whatever ability you have, whatever you have, use that in a way to share God's love with other people. Whatever abilities you have, whatever talents you have, whatever opportunities you have, education, freedoms, relationships, experiences, possessions, whatever you have, all of what you have should be used to serve God by serving others in such a way as to let them know about God's love. And not just once in a while, or not just when it's convenient, or not just when it suits us. Whenever you have a chance. Peter says we should faithfully administer God's grace, consistently, steadily, systematically, spontaneously. Sometimes it means we deny ourselves. We go without so we can tell somebody about Jesus. We got to give up our desires, our preferences, so we can serve God's purposes. Folks, listen, God's purpose always comes before our preference. God's purpose for our church always comes before our personal preferences for our church. God's purpose for Grace Point Church always comes before our personal preferences for Grace Point Church. We're not always going to get what we want at our church here at Grace Point. Sometimes we have to say, I'd rather have it this way, but this will serve the greater good. I remember when we were first doing some renovations, we're still in the middle of this, and I remember when we came in and we painted all this black and we took things down and all that, I remember some people came in and went, whoa, this is so cool, I like this. And some people came in and they were like, what in the world? I don't know what is going on. But I loved it when people had that and they said, you know what? This might work. And they were willing to say, it's not what I would have picked out. But if this will be a way that more people might come in because we're making these changes, I'll do it. I love that. When we first did it, I even helped paint it. I didn't even like it. But it's not, I'm colorblind though. Everything looks like this to me. Bring it on. In any church, Grace Point or anywhere else, it's never me first. It's always Christ first. It's always God first. It's what He wants, not what we want. It's how can we reach more people for Christ? How can we grow the Christians here? That's what comes first. God's purpose ahead of our personal preference. Another reason or another way we can show gratitude for grace is by becoming a generous person. By becoming a generous person. Christians ought to be generous with the things that God has given us. We should be generous with the possessions God gives us. We should be generous with the finances that God has given us. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 7 and 8, it says, each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. First of all, Paul says, each one should give. Folks, all of us should give. He's talking about financial giving here, but it means giving other things, your gifts, your talents, but also give your money. We're supposed to give back to God financially. And if you get up to a level where you're being faithful, then we tithe, we give 10% of what we make. Give it back to God. So you should give. You should be giving. If you can't tithe yet and you're in a situation you can't, give something. Give some percentage. Work up to where you're giving at least 10%. We talk about that in the membership class. I'll talk about it because the Bible talks about it. I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you don't, but you need to work up to that. Give something. But look what he says here. Circle, you know, underline some things. Underline the things he says here. Underline all grace. In all things, at all times, all you need in every good work. He makes promises here. Give. God never gives us things just to selfishly hoard up. He wants to bless us. He wants us to enjoy things. He gives us things to meet our needs. But He never gives us things just to hoard up and keep. He gives us so we can give back. And meet other people's needs. Now, I want to thank you for being a giving church. Year to date so far, I think, Jason, I was just asking you a little bit ago, I think we're like $24,000 ahead of our budget year to date. You know that? Give yourself a hand. Give God a hand. I mean, look, we're not a big church. And yet, man, we don't know who gives what. The pastors, we have no clue who gives what. I know what I give. Jason knows what he gives. We don't know who gives what, but we're $24,000 ahead year to date. Now, don't go, okay, I can take a break now. No. Don't be doing that stuff. But God is so good and gracious to us that we gladly give back to Him. Another way you can show your gratitude about God's grace, number three, is by sharing the good news of grace. By sharing the good news of grace. In Acts 20:24, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me. To tell people the good news about God's grace. Folks, that verse applies to every one of us here. Some people think that verse is for the preacher. No, that verse is for every Christian, every believer. The most important thing is that we tell people the good news about God's grace. It doesn't say that the most important thing in life is to have a successful career, or the most important thing is to fund your retirement, or to get married, or to own material possessions, or to drive a most expensive car, to wear name brand clothes, or to be famous. It says the most important thing in life is to complete what Jesus has told you to do, and that is to tell people about Jesus. If you're in a circumstance and someone literally died for you and gave their life for you, wouldn't you want to know about it? Well, that's what happened with Jesus. He died for people and gave his life for people. And wouldn't you think they would want to know about that? So who can you go tell? Look at your outline. There's a couple of blanks, spaces right there. I put those there because I really want you to think, who can you tell? Who have you been wanting to tell? Who have you been wanting to say, you know what, I really need to tell them. Maybe there's a neighbor I haven't talked with yet. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a relative. Who can I really literally write their name down? Who can I tell? A coworker? Who can I tell? Well, as I was finishing the message, living in God's amazing grace, we've been through the message, I want you to get busy, seriously living out the principles that we've talked about the whole 7 weeks. I kind of did a refresher in my own mind, my heart, just about God's grace in general. Grace. It's when we get to heaven, and the angels ask. On what basis are you here? And we have nothing except to say, because the man on the middle cross said I could come. That's the kind of grace that people need to hear. I have nothing but the man on the middle cross said you could come. Let's live and share that kind. Pray together. God, it's good to learn about grace. All that we've learned over the last couple of months in the 7 messages have been great. But in its simplest form, grace is when we say, I have nothing. Nothing to offer but that the man on the middle cross said I could come. Jesus, thank you that you said we could come. It is by that grace and that grace alone on which we stand. We have nothing but that grace that you offer us. And out of attitude and gratitude for that grace, move our hearts to share that with others, because there are so many people that realize they have nothing to offer as well, and they need to know that you who died on that middle cross also offers them grace. Make our church a church of grace. Make us people of grace and all of what that means. Do that, God. And you will continue to advance your kingdom through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
A couple of quick words. Again, thank you for your outreach and ministry in our community. Right now, we're in the midst of the school supply drive, and Lori, what is the deadline on it? Is there a deadline coming up on that, or what's happening with that?
Not this next Sunday, but the following Sunday.
So a couple more weeks, but if you can give toward that, we're maybe a third of the way there to reach what we want to do. And this coming Tuesday morning, Sandy and the group, they'll be over at James Island Outreach. If you would like to come and help out, starting at 9 a.m., and until the folks go through and help folks get food out in our community that need that. Churches from all around make donations, and then we're able to participate in that as well. So, Jason, I think that's a couple pretty good announcements. Think that's enough for today? Well, let's pray together. Take that message with you this week. Invite somebody. I think some of you wrote names down praying for those folks. Let's reach out to them this week. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this group that's gathered, Lord, that we can truly share in your grace here at Grace Point. And we pray that the Grace Point is not here all week. It's all through our community as we scatter to go out and share your word. Lord, thank you for the message. Thank you for the music. And thank you for the love that we feel right here in this room. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.